Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about ministry and money, and sometimes we do have some challenges when we talk about this subject, just because it does seem like we have some real sensitivities in this area. And what I want to be able to do is give you something to think about. One of the issues that we're going to briefly talk about is the whole concept of basically financing the church, as far as there's an expectation that that you and I and Christians, it is our duty to maintain the church and the church's outreach and the church's goals. And that's something I would like to look at. And hopefully we've set some ground rules from our previous discussions, but I would like to point out a couple of additional thoughts. When we talk about how the church gets its money, you know, we always go back to the wonderful illustration of Jesus. You know, how did he get money? How was he funded when he was basically an itinerant minister, traveling and dependent on the people? And yet we don't have any recollection, we don't have any recordings of him raising money, doing a fundraising effort, or let alone he never raised any money or even talked about building a church or a ministry or a specific thing other than beyond his own needs. I don't think he ever saw his ministry as building related, and not just building at the process, but building in terms of being in a building. When we look at the Old Testament, and they were very structure-centric, there was a place you went to worship God. There were things you did when you got there. And it was very clearly laid out how you ministered to God, how you did your service to him, and that included offerings and tithes, and certain times you went to the one temple, and other times you went to another, and it was all very strictly laid out. And one thing we want to look at is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the example that Jesus did when his real influence, his real interchange with the Old Testament was pretty much a negative one. When he was in the temple, it was usually for, in most cases, not all cases, but in many cases, for negative reasons. He was not there to extol the virtues of what was going on in the temple. Instead, he was there to criticize what had become of it, a den of thieves, for instance. the money changer example. And yet he did not criticize the intent. What he was critical of was the effect, what it turned into. And so I think we too want to look at what our expectations are, what we think it should be, and what it actually is. And one aspect we have trouble with this is that we have a tendency to think that it is, as long as we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, we don't have to be aware of how what we are giving is taken care of. If who we're giving it to, if they are good stewards of it. And what we find is that by doing that, and this is, again, just to be very gentle with this, but I want you to think about this. Here's how it works in Christian ministries. And I've been involved in several of varying sizes, and this is fairly consistent to one degree or another. Now, there's a range, and I'll go into that in a minute. But this is how it's approached in functioning ministries. There's the concept is out there that Christians are told to tithe. You tithe to the church or the ministry to support the church or ministry. And that if you do that, God will honor it. And that's like a full stop. So within the ministry of the church, what happens with the thinking then is, okay, if the person has given the money and God has blessed the person for giving the money, that's a complete thing. That's the circle is closed. The money or the gift that comes out of that money that goes into the church or the ministry is everything that's that happens with it after that is extra. So it's like it's already done everything it was supposed to do, because what's important is that the person gives, because then God will bless the giver. So what happens on the inside, within a ministry or church, in many, far too many situations, what happens in the thinking is that they don't have to be as careful, as wise with the money that's been given, because it's already been fruitful. If you're giving into, like, say, a televangelist or something, and you know, there's a telethon going on, and you commit to send them $35 a month for, you know, forever until you stop. They're thinking, okay, once you do that, you no longer have any expectations. So you don't have basically any interest in how well it's spent. And so within the whole concept of it being, you know, the nonprofit, the religious, you know, you have the tax exempt status in there, that it's not the same as other money. Most people within a ministry or church that is functioning on money that's given to them would not spend their own money as recklessly as they spend what is given. Now, there's going to be some waste, some mistake, some trial and error in any organization, no matter how large and how small. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is the lack of attention, of consideration, of good stewardship that is prevalent within religious organizations. Now, this is despite the whole tax-exempt status, so then there's a thinking that they might get audited more, and some certainly do. But an audit only verifies that you're fulfilling the requirements of tax exemption. It doesn't account for if you're spending the money wisely. And very often what you'll find is that the more a ministry, a denomination, a whatever, even this can extend to other nonprofit organizations, you know, whether it's the, you know, for animal rights or for, you know, a university, they are receiving the money and they're pretty much thinking they can do with it whatever they want, as long as it falls in, as long as they don't run afoul of the law. Now, what has happened is to maintain, and I hope I'm not getting too deep into the weeds, but this needs to be on the record at this point in time for, you know, we're talking about ministry and money, and, you know, a lot of you are already involved in ministry, and the rest of us support ministries. So we need to understand the mentality and how it affects both sides. And again, not just for religious organizations. I've also worked for nonprofit health groups for that weren't religious, but this is prevalent there as well, that when the money doesn't have to be profit, when you're not out to make money with your money, it's pretty much to waste it. It's easy to basically come up with projects in order to spend the money. And this is what we want to make sure we don't knowingly participate in, because it is, because money is so significant to each of us as an individual and as on a larger scale to these groups. We've talked about how very often people associate God's blessing with the money coming in, or even an individual. If they, for instance, have a story of tragedy and they put their story in front of the church and the hat is passed and all the money is gathered and all of a sudden they have the money to make up the loss, but very often there really wasn't the need. They were just looking for an excuse not to have to take responsibility for themselves. And now with our meeting those needs, they feel that God has justified their staying in that situation. And so we want to be wise with our giving, with what we do. And then looking at, okay, what are the structures of these ministries? So many of these ministries are under the tax-exempt status with the IRS. And to do that, you have to have a board. Now, and there's also these watchdog groups, you know, that are out there. What people don't understand is these watchdog groups and the boards are all set up not to make sure that the money is being spent the best way, necessarily, but to make sure that they fulfill the requirements so that they aren't investigated by the IRS. So It's a way of assuring the people who give, you know, to show that they're accountable. Now, again, this is not absolute. There are certainly some situations where over, you know, each member of the board is fully devoted to and is wise and is scrupulous in making sure that the wise decisions are made. But for everyone that's that way, there's probably multiples that aren't. And there's this myth that I think is prevalent in the church for all of us, that we can blindly have faith in those we are trusting with our finances, that when we give to a ministry, that we don't have to find out how it's being spent because somebody else is looking after it. Whether it's a board or who we're giving it to is faithful with it or whatever. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, you stop giving. That doesn't mean that, okay, you don't trust it, you don't take joy in it. But you want to be open to God talking to you about it. This is why our emphasis is always going back to the Lord. Now, there may be even situations where you are giving and you find out well after the fact that there was something unscrupulous going on. And, for instance, everybody who was involved in the Jim Baker situation, if they had an understanding. Now, there are some. Just real quickly, what happened there is he oversold a product. He basically we'll just say it's a product. He had a million units, and he sold 2 million, knowing that everybody would not want the unit at the same time. So he'd probably be able to float and get away with it. And he probably would have, except somebody noticed that they were selling more units than they had and couldn't honor, but he wanted them at the same time, they wouldn't be able to give them. And so he got turned in. Now, there are those who had been giving to him that still to this day don't think he did anything wrong, simply because in their eyes, he was the man of God. And that's what we want to avoid, is we don't want to be ignorant and foolish. Now, on the other hand, with that situation, you can understand, you can accept that people make mistakes. And people sometimes knowingly do things that they know they shouldn't do, but don't think they get caught or think God is going to take care of them or whatever the motive might be. And we can still say, well, I'm still glad I gave. Clearly, something was going wrong over here, but I'm satisfied with my support of that ministry. That's different than saying, well, he didn't do anything wrong because he's the man of God. You know, they were just out to get him, that kind of thing. So that's what we want to be wise about. And this is true basically in nonprofits all across the board, not just in religious circles, but there is this mentality that there is an extra layer of unaccountability that's there. And because it's not-for-profit, there's a lot of ways, there's a lot of loopholes. And just the more you know about it, the less likely you are to feel comfortable that you're going to get your bang for your buck. And the reason these groups and these ministries and these religious organizations can do this is not because they're working real hard at doing it. It's because we, the people, are gullible. And we've been taught that if you give, God will bless, and that's the end of the circle. That's as far as you need to go. And that's a whole nother conversation. We've talked a little bit before about it, but just as a reminder that God has already met all your needs, and it has nothing to do with whether you give or not. You already have the inheritance. You're already a son of God. You already have all the eternal life you can ever need. You have everything you need for life and godliness, whether you give or not, period. You're not going to get a special blessing for giving. Now, God may be working with you about specific things that are tied to giving, but it's not because not giving keeps you from it, but because there's something else attached to it. Like you might be get your identity out of your money. And by giving, it makes you feel better, or by giving, you think you can get God to do something for you. So there are a lot of things and strings attached. But we don't want to stay there if God is dealing with us about it. And take some time to think about, and if you're involved in a ministry or even a nonprofit, take some time and let the Lord show you if this is the best approach. Again, there are ministries and organizations that are doing it exactly right. But I will tell you one thing. When there's a situation where, let me just put it this way, where they've gotten sloppy with the money, odds are they're sloppy in other areas as well. They're sloppy with their relationships. They're sloppy with their doctrine, that especially that other people have to follow the rules, but they don't. They can preach something, but they don't have to follow it. When you start looking for loopholes, you can find them. And you can find them all over the place. But God is not a God of loopholes. This is why we always come back to, Lord, is this where you want me to put my money? Is this where you want me to put my time, my energy, my effort, my talent? Is this the pew you want me to be sitting in? Is this the job you want me to be having? And this is one of the attitudes of people who work for ministries. And I've had a couple of situations that were, I had to specifically deal with people with attitude thinking, working for a ministry, you just sit around and worship and pray and everybody just has a good time because there's a presence of God and you really don't have to work because everybody's just ministering to one another. And that's exactly what happens in some cases. And you have to really understand if you're there with a purpose. You need to be focused on that purpose. If you are trying to accomplish something, are you getting are you achieving the goals? Do you have a plan? Do you have a strategy? Are you meeting those plans and strategies? That there's a distinction between what your, as an employee, what your goals are and if that ministry is from God, what his goals are. But that's what it comes down to, is because we the people are gullible, we don't question when people ask for money. And again, it's not to be have a knee-jerk reaction to those situations, but to understand that's what they've been taught. That's how they have learned to do things. And they have learned to do things that way because it works, not because God says to do it this way in the New Testament, but because it works. So it's up to you and I to tune our hearing in this area just as much as in any other area, so that when we have any inkling that something is going on, we can easily respond. We don't need to be sticking our nose into everybody else's business unless we're in within that business. Just be very, you know, clear about it. There was a situation in one ministry I was in where I knew something was going on that was illegal because I was working at another ministry where it was a very similar situation, but the head of the ministry knew that certain things had to be kept separate. And so he went way out of his way to make sure they were kept separate, because he knew he was going to be a target for the IRS, and he was. And he went, it was like, okay, he could have gone much closer to the line, and he's like, no, I want the Grand Canyon. I don't want to have any possibility that there's any shadow of a doubt that these two things are totally separate. And so when I went to work for this other ministry, there was no Grand Canyon, there was no line. And I went and ended up talking to the chief financial officer, who had the same concerns. And we both ended up having to leave, because he talked to the head of the ministry, who was sure it was going to be fine. He had taken on the IRS before, and he had won, and he knew God, this is what God told him to do, so he was going to do it. And he had taken on the IRS before, and he had won. He would take out the IRS on again, and he'd win. Now, I'm not sure if he is still doing what he was doing, and I'm not sure if the IRS has gone after him for this or anything. But I do know that there's other areas in the ministry that have collapsed because there were loopholes, and he took advantage. Once you start thinking you're better than others, that you don't have to be careful, you don't have to keep a tight rein. You can take advantage. You can look for loopholes. You start looking for loopholes in other areas as well, and that's when you start getting into trouble. Now, he's still got a ministry, but basically everybody that I was working with from the top down have all left. His team has all left. And I won't go into exactly what it was that caused it. It wasn't something personally that he did, but he looked for a loophole because he wanted to do something. And I know he has preached against exactly what he did, but he found a loophole for himself. So we don't want to be thinking that because we're involved in a certain thing that God loves or God wants, that we can play fast and loose with the money that comes in, that we can come up with ways to spend the money, that because people are satisfied, that we can go ahead and use what's being given. And on our end, we may be supporting ministries or groups that need to come to an end because God wants to deal with them and keep them from falling, because we are so willing to be blinded and just, you know, do it compulsively because we're told to. We are supporting something that God wants to come to an end. So hopefully that will give you something to think about and answer a couple of questions that have come up. We didn't get into specifically about the tithing, but that kind of ties in, and we'll be eventually going into really going into talking to tithing. And a couple things, if I need to follow up with emails, I'll do that. So just to let you know where we are with that. But don't be distracted by this. Let the Lord talk to you, to tell you what you need to do, what you need to pay attention to, and then stick with that. He'll take care of the rest. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. We'll be getting back together again next week. Happy Thanksgiving, and have a good night.